Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We have been recording on our phone. Shane's going to hate this as well.
Oh,
but,
hate.
But so my baby, she likes to eat my phone. But so she'll be like, and then all the saliva is going into the mic. And then I listen back to the next podcast. And when, you know, the pee thing. You,
oh,
there's
yeah.
probably some technical term for that.
Oh, I thought I was just eating
plosives.
Plosives.
Yeah.
So there was loads of plosives. We were literally like, it was like exploding in my headphones.
I literally thought that was me.
Yeah, because usually it doesn't do that.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so there's a bit too much saliva now in the phone microphone.
You need to put it in a bag of rice.
Yeah.
Bag of rice
immediately.
That's yeah, no, I thought that was me when I listened back to it, and I was like, oh, because you know the way, like, when we're recording it, so like it's literally on a phone, so whenever we're talking, like, Keelan will like push the phone to me and be like talking to the mic, but I thought I was like eating it, and that's why it was like so every time you pushed it towards me, I'd go back, and I was like, oh my god, it's all my fault.
But sometimes you'd be talking and you'd have the mic directed at me as if you were like waiting for my response.
Oh, I know, yeah, I know, yeah. But like, I don't know, that's why sometimes I'm like, it's like screwing bottle caps on. You know, if you're like talking one way, like my hand would go the other way. I don't know why I said bottle caps, but
what?
Like,
it's a weird analogy. What analogy is this? You're like, quick, think of one.
Anyway, welcome, Hannah.
Anyway,
have I gone red? Anyway, moving swiftly on. Now, if you want to introduce yourself, Hannah.
Okay, so my name is Hannah McGlynn. What kind of intro? What do I say about myself?
I'm just a sexy bitch.
I'm a sexy bitch, very slay. And she's a corporate creative. And
love.
Yeah.
Love.
Do you want to elaborate what a corporate creative is?
Yeah, so basically I'm a videographer, photographer girly, but I work in an advertising agency, so I have my little studio in there. So I still like shoot videos, direct, all that kind of stuff. Edit and everything, but then just in the more corporate way.
And what does that mean?
So basically it's just more like ads. So like ads for big corporate clients kind
of
thing. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not like as much of like my own stuff. You know, I would have done a lot more like music videos and like shorts before, whereas now I'm kind of like, I'm told, this is what you're doing, this is your brief. Now off you go.
Okay.
But a bit of security though.
Oh yeah. No, I was like manifesting a corporate 9-to-5. I was just like, I can't do this freelancing thing anymore. And then someone got on to me about the job and was just like, hey, you'd be great for this. I'm leaving it. So,
oh, perfect.
The manifestation girlies.
So good.
When did you start?
I'm there like 2 years.
Nice.
Which is probably the longest I've stuck at any job. So it's going well.
Brill.
Yeah.
Love. There's nothing worse than working in somewhere where you don't want to be.
Yeah.
Like, there's literally nothing worse, especially because you're a creative.
Yeah.
I was having this conversation with Kim today because like she's so creative and she like wants to do all these things, but she's in a corporate job.
Yeah.
And like she feels like trapped. But now you get to kind of have the best of both worlds.
I have the best of both worlds. Like, they pay my health insurance, but I'm still like making things and like working on my skill set.
Love.
Oh my God. Yeah. Health insurance as well.
Health insurance.
Fucking
for
hell.
The girls.
Yeah.
Love. So you obviously, because you're like, you're a working gal, you're a busy gal, having a clear head at the start of the day is always so important.
Yeah.
So you stopped drinking when?
So I just stopped drinking 6 years ago.
Oh my
God.
So
when I was 22, I stopped drinking, which is kind of wild. But yeah, like that thing, I don't think I'd be able to actually like manage the job that I'm in now. Like back then I'd be like, oh, I really want to do like this or that. And like had like high goals, but then was always stopping myself from achieving them because I was always hungover or like blacked out.
Did you have really bad hangovers?
Oh, I had ferocious hangovers from when I was like 14. So like my doctor after the fact, like when I stopped drinking, was like, you were probably always allergic to alcohol, which would make a lot of sense because like 14-year-olds probably shouldn't have hangovers.
Fuck.
Like it's probably not
no,
the shtick.
No,
that
no.
was me. That's me as well.
No way.
Yeah, that's yeah. It's such an interesting topic because how many times a week do I say I'm going sober? I'm like, I don't want to drink anymore. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And it's because I've gone through every single alcohol and they make me sick.
Yeah.
And I'm like going slowly and slowly throughout them all. And now I'm like, maybe I'm just allergic to everything.
Except margarita.
Except margarita.
Except tequila. But then it's like, I heard something on the TV the other day, and this is like, I was drinking a tequila drink, and like, I'm convinced that I'm only not allergic to tequila. So I'm like not drinking out any, well, no, I am drinking other things. And then I get myself into a state where I'm hungover, and then it's like all self-inflicted. So, yeah, you know, I'm looking for sympathy, but I did it to myself. But it's like, yeah, I don't have, I'm not allergic to tequila. But then what if I drink too much tequila?
Yeah.
Then you'll be hungover. So am I allergic to that too? But it's just such an interesting thing because like at this age, like I'm 25, you're 25,
I'm 28.
28. So like at the age of 22, like I couldn't imagine myself saying, oh, I'm going to go sober at 22.
I wouldn't even be mature enough.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't even think I was wearing matching socks back then. Anna,
like, I wasn't though. Like I was not. And it was like, I did not think I had like an issue with drinking. It was that like, I was just like chronically depressed and kept like attempting suicide, like all of those kind of things. Mm. And then went to my doctor and was just like, I'm really depressed. Like, you know, give me medication.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of what I thought it would be. And then I went for an assessment in PATS. And then after that assessment, they were like, so you have all this like PTSD that you need to do psychology for. But before you do that, you need to do like an alcohol and rehabilitation program.
So, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So like I walked out of there being like,
fuck them.
Yeah. Being like, they know nothing about me. I'm like, because, you know, you're 22. You're like, I drink as much as like my friends do. But like my friends are chaotic. So it's like the circles I keep, like everyone was on that buzz. But it doesn't mean that it's like healthy to be drinking that amount.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean it's going to react the same way with everyone.
Yeah.
Because that's always.
Some people don't. Sorry.
Sorry.
The Spider-Man thing.
Are we going to kiss? No, but you know when you're a teenager as well, and it's like, say for example, I loved Nutella and I loved milkshakes, and then, but I'd always get these really infected, swollen glands. My adenoids, actually had to get them removed. Sorry, I don't know why this is coming to my head. And I'd be like, coming into school, like hocking up. And then all my siblings would be the same. We'd be hocking up the dairy every time we ate it. So I was like, okay, I have to go off dairy. But then all my friends would be having milkshakes and ice creams. This is around the time when Scrub Diddlies came in, okay? I was really left out. And I was just like, why the fuck can everyone else have all these yummy desserts, because let's be honest, everything that's yummy has dairy in it. So yeah. I wasn't able to have any of these things, and your doctor is just like, well, sometimes things don't react the same way with everyone. Yes. So it's the same thing with alcohol. It's just like, just because your mate, well, if your mates would jump off a bridge, would you? But you know, just because your mates can handle drink and like still be sane the next day doesn't mean that it's going to react in the same way.
Yeah. And like I was the exact same with the whole drinking thing. I was like, it's so unfair that like all of my friends can handle drinking, and like why can everybody else just like handle this and I can't? But like in the 6 years now, I've seen like so many more of them like are starting to struggle with it, and like that it wasn't just me that was struggling with it. Even though like at the time I was still like completely in denial and was just like, I don't need to do this, but like I'll do the inpatient program just like so I can get the psychology I need. But I was like, doctor's an idiot, doesn't know anything. Mm. And then on like my second or third week of being there, like I had to do the whole like AA, like life ring, and then like group therapy. And I was the youngest person there by probably like 20 years. And I was like, I don't need to be here, until one day I was like, oh, I definitely need to be here. Like it's problematic.
Right, I'm going to be honest. On Friday, I didn't want to go out because every time I go out, I fear of what I'm going to be like the next day. You know the way you, when you're out with your friends and they buy you a drink, and like not necessarily they have to ask you, but they could buy you the same drink that they're drinking. And majority of the people, they can drink whatever they want and they won't be the way that I am the next day. But it could be one drink for me and I'll be vomiting, like crying, fragile. But vomiting is like the main thing for me. And I went out and I had 6 bottles of Corona and I got alcohol poisoning the next day.
Stop.
6 bottles of Corona. Now I had a margarita, but like that was way earlier in the night, had a bit of food, and then 6 bottles of Corona. And I got the Corona light thinking that it had something to do with the alcohol. My mom goes, Emer, that's light in calories, it's not light in alcohol. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. But 6 bottles of Corona. And I, on Saturday morning, I was vomiting for I'd say a good 7 hours, and I was like on my deathbed crying, like had like a sick bowl beside my bed because I couldn't physically get up because I was so dehydrated, I felt like I was going to faint. And then I was like, I say it every single week. And my mom's like, you keep saying it, you keep saying it. But I'm like, I feel like someday I actually will do it. And I'll look back on those times being like, the fact that I used to put myself through that. Mm. But I'm in the same position as you were in 22, because I'm like, why is it only me? Because all my friends are like going to Forbidden Fruit like every single day. And they're like the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and they can do it. And I'm like, I can't do that, yeah, you know?
Completely. It's, and like, would you get like 2 day hangovers?
Oh.
Mine would be like 2+ days.
Two day hangovers. It's like very, and like if I'm on my period, it could be like 3 day hangovers. Your period just makes you way more hungover, what I fucking learned this weekend. Like it's really depressing. But like when you're expressing it to people or your friends who don't get hangovers, they're like, oh, you poor thing, next. Because it's like they can't relate. But it's like, completely. Like I'm terrified of drinking, but I do it anyway, like self-inflicted completely. But like, it's just such a thing in Ireland, like being around your friends and not drinking. Like, let's talk about the what is that thing that people do, Dry January. Why does everyone get so offended by Dry January? I get offended by it because I know that I won't be able to do it.
Yeah,
I don't have the willpower to do it.
Yeah, well, it takes it's like, it makes you feel ashamed of yourself because you don't have that control or willpower.
Exactly.
You know, if you can see someone else doing it, it's like, Emer, remember me going for a run today? Sorry, this is your maybe 4 times saying you went for a run.
I went for a run for the first time today. I've said it like 17 times.
No, like she randomly texted me today going, just went for a run. And I'm like, love. But it's
and
that,
then in brackets, I'm bragging.
I'm bragging. I was like, love, brag away.
But anytime I saw someone, this is the reason why I just wanted to get into running, because I'd see stories and it's like, you know, you need to take a story or otherwise it didn't happen. I'd see these people going out for runs, like actually videoing themselves running, not panting, not even breaking a sweat, like normal skin color, not even red as a beetroot. I'm like, what the fuck is going on with these robotic people? What are you taking? Give me some. And I was like, okay, I actually just need to fucking get into it and get over it, because my mom runs, you know, it's a nice thing to do for your body.
Yeah, of course.
And
yeah,
after I had a baby, I'm like, I can fucking do anything.
Sorry, that coffee has sent you on the moon. She literally gets it and goes to me, oh girls, it'll be on the moon after this.
Fucking no, hell.
But your body gets so sensitive to certain things, you know, after you give birth, genuinely, if you're breastfeeding, it's the same as being on your period, because you're like losing your fluids and your body metabolizes things way faster. So like if I have coffee, I'm literally like, wow.
And you wanted to get a fucking monster. Oh, Jesus Christ.
But it's the same thing with drink. If I have a half a glass of wine, I'm like, woohoo.
Yeah.
But no, like I was saying with the running, I would be like, oh, that's so annoying, fucking putting up videos of yourself running. Shut up, you know?
Yeah.
And then now I just can't shut up about it. But it's the same sort of a thing with Dry January.
Dry January,
it's like,
yeah.
Oh, you think you're great.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That sort of mentality. But when you were 22, like, I can't imagine. Because it's difficult. When I was even fucking pregnant, like clearly I can't drink. My mother was literally like, ah, you have a fucking G&T. What are you talking about? And my baby shower, she was like, would you have a fucking glass of white wine?
Like, she's like, will you give over?
Yeah, Jesus. She was like, you're obsessed with the fuck. You're coddling the child. You're spoiling her. And she wasn't even born
she's
yet.
In utero.
Yeah. I was like, no, mom, it's fine. I just don't want to drink, you know. I'll sit this one out for once. So yeah, were you met with like judgment or anything, or were people mainly supportive?
So yeah, it was a weird one, because like I went into like an inpatient treatment center for like 3 months, and yeah, it was like the height of summer, so like I didn't really tell people, because also like my mom at the time, she was like, don't tell anyone where you're going, because like, yeah, she was like so ashamed, because obviously like, you know, the whole mental health hangover from like their generation. But then like gradually I'd be like, oh yeah, so like I'm not drinking, and people would be like, oh, but like would you not just have one, because it makes them uncomfortable because it acknowledges their drinking.
Yeah.
But then when I'd be like, when they'd be like, why aren't you drinking? Because before I'd be like, oh, like I'm driving or I'm on antibiotics. And I'd be like, because it makes me want to kill myself. And then they'd be like, okay. And then like now enough, like all the people in my life know that I don't drink and like the reasons why. Mm. And like I'm off it long enough now that like obviously no one, well, generally people don't offer me, like on the weekend, one of my friends was like, try this. And I was like, well, what is it? And he was like, oh, it's a gin and blah, blah. And I was like, are you joking? And he's like, oh, yeah, sorry about that. And people get really, like, uncomfortable offering me. But I'm trying to think, yeah, like, when I stopped drinking, mostly it was, like, either people being like, slay. But that was after the first kind of maybe 2 months. Because you know how often, like, even I used to be like, girls, I'm not drinking anymore. I'm done. And then, like, the next week, I'd be gone.
Yeah.
And, like, I used to, like, black out and be an absolute, like, terror, like, after about 3 drinks. So it was like, they were also like fed up with my carry on.
Okay.
But then had like heard me be like, no, guys, that's it. Like, I'm not drinking anymore. And like the kind of poor me parade. But then like, obviously now that it's been so long,
like people are very supportive of it, or they're just like, or they'll be like hammered and they'll be like, I wish I could do what you're doing. But then like,
I love that.
But we'll have like a can in their hand and then be like, after, like, do you want some? And I'll be like, I'm good, thank you.
Oh my God.
There's a lot of that.
Did you lose friends though?
I did. That, and that was the thing I learned in treatment. They were just like, you're going to, like, there's going to have to be a change in, like, the settings that you're in, and, like, your friends are going to really need to shift. Because, like, there are some people who love you no matter what, obviously, and, like, have your back. And there are some friends who are, like, you're their, like, drinking buddy. And, like, if you don't want to come out with them, they're just like, oh, well, like, what else do we do? So there were friends of mine who, and, like, in early recovery, as they call it, you're not really meant to, like, go out or, like, be in those spaces because it's really, like, obviously, like, challenging for you. So, yeah, there were people who I just, like, didn't hear from, and I was like, oh, I thought we were, like, better friends than we actually are, obviously. Mm. And then there were friends of mine who would be, like, down for coffees, like, the height of summer. They'd be like, yeah, let's go get a coffee or whatever. Or, like, who actually came and, like, visited me in a psych ward. And, like, even though it was, like, the height of their summer holidays, they actually, like, wanted to spend their time in, like, a psych ward garden instead. So that really did, like, show me, like, who the special people in my life who, like, have my back are. Mm. And the ones who are only there for, like, the good times, or who also are in the height of, like, addiction and everything too. So there's, like, catch 22 there.
Okay. Mm.
And do you feel, do you look at people now and you, like, you know, obviously you not hold a grudge, but I personally would be like, okay, fuck you, you weren't there for me. But, like, do you look at them and you, do you feel sorry for them, or are you like, you can see yourself in them,
or any feelings for them at all?
Yeah.
Well, see, like, another thing that I really, like, learned, and that was kind of through AA and stuff, it's just like that forgiveness, like, we're all going to fuck up in our lives. So if we're not willing to, like, forgive other people, like, how can we expect other people to forgive us? Mm. And, like, I had done some terrible things before I stopped drinking. So, like, I absolutely forgive those people for, like, not being ready. And also, like, at 22, like, your friend going and stopping drinking, you're like, yeah, as if kind of thing. You're like, you don't really even have awareness. Like, your brain's not even fully formed, really. So, like, I don't hold it against any of them. And, yeah, like, now I can see that some of them either are, like, struggling with those things, or, you know, they've come back around, or else I just, like, don't see them. But it's also the thing with, like, getting older though as well, that you're kind of like, the friends that you had then are so different to the ones you have as you get on.
Smaller. The group gets smaller and smaller and more intense. But, you know, it's better to have three great friends than, like, a whole bunch of people that are just your drinking buddies.
Oh, completely, yeah.
Yeah,
and there's, like, no depth there with the relationship.
Yeah,
like, you barely
even,
it's just like we're friends with each other to have a laugh, that you don't actually know anything about each other, or there's no support there.
Yeah.
Which actually, I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with it, but if you don't have both, there's no balance there. Like, it's fair enough if you have people to party with and have a laugh with to turn your brain off, sort of.
Yeah. Of course.
But
of
it's
course.
Like, you do need the special connections, you know? Making friends.
Special connections. Yes. I don't even know what that song is.
No, I just made, I was just singing a tune.
And come here, do you, like, with the fear and stuff, like, are you just like, when everyone says anything about the fear, do you just feel so bad? You're like, I know, or because you used to black out.
Oh, I used to black out all the time. But then, like, also, my friends wouldn't tell me what I'd done. So, like, there were people who would be, like, pissed off at me, or I would either be, like, violent or just, like, aggressive or, like, promiscuous and all this kind of stuff. And I'd wake up, and you know when you know people are pissed off at you, but they're not saying it, and it's just kind of like,
oh, yeah. No, this, and oh, I was just horrible.
Like, and, like, I would have such bad fear anyway. Mm. And then I would just get really bad, like, sads after drinking. So I'd just be like, oh my God, I'm such a piece of shit. So it, like, really, like, tore away, like, my any self-esteem I had, or, like, self, what's the word? Oh yeah, confidence. Mm. So it, like, it destroyed all of that. So, and yeah, and, like, also then there were people who I thought were my friends who then would, like, drift away from me, but, like, I wouldn't know why.
Oh yeah.
So there were, like, all of those things that were at play.
Do you think you had to, like, re-socialize yourself after you quit drinking? Because I know from when I got pregnant and I stopped drinking, there was a few times where I'd be in social situations and I genuinely didn't know how to talk to people without having a drink. Like, even just, the, you know, when, like, the one, so you feel a bit tipsy and you're, like, more melty or something. You're more open. Because I'm quite introverted anyway, so I'm like, I need a fucking cocktail to loosen me up. Yeah. But when I was pregnant, it was, like, good practice, I suppose, to talk to people without having to have a drink.
Yeah, like, so I started drinking when I was, like, 13. And so, like, what I realized is that I was completely just, like, socialized around alcohol. Like, the only way I knew you had to, like, talk to boys or anything like that was, like, after having, like, a naggin in an alleyway.
Mm.
So then, like, as I went on, I had no idea, obviously, how to socialize. And then when I started going back out again, I was like, I feel so awkward. And, like, you just feel really, like, dweeby or something. You're like, what do I do with my hands? And, like, it feels like everything you're saying is wrong, or just, like, anxious.
Mm.
And those were the times when I was really like, I'd love to be able to just have a drink. But then like through those experiences, I guess I learned that, you know, I have a lot to say, or like I started to like work on myself more. And I guess that like I know myself a lot better now. So I'm like comfortable in those situations because I'm like, I know what I know and I know how to interact with people. I also know that most of the time people are not worrying about me anyway. They're only worrying about the weird things they said. They can never remember anything you said anyway.
Mm.
And also like as people get locked, it's like such a like you just slip under the radar. But there was definitely like a period of time when I was just like, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to like go out again. Like I'm only fun when I'm drinking and like no one's going to want to be around me or anything. Whereas like now I know how to speak to people and have like great deep conversations without having to have drink on me. Mm-hmm. And like, and I can also have, you know, like the DMCs and all that kind of stuff without having to be like locked, which
yeah.
is great. Like,
yeah. Jesus, that's really good.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it's like something that I really do want to do. Like, mm-hmm. really do want to do. And it's, I don't think I have a problem with drinking. It's just the, how it makes me feel afterwards. Just the sick thing that you were saying at 14 yeah. years of age. Same as me. 14 years of age, I was vomiting after Wes. And I was going, yeah. what's the crack? And my mom's banging on the toilet door being like, well, are you okay in there? And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm fine. Just have a tummy bug. Do you know what yeah. I mean? But like at the age of 14, like I shouldn't be vomiting. So yeah. I definitely think that like speaking to you, because like you are a social person and you seem really happy and like you're still at events and you're still doing things. And, you know, I saw you the other night and like we're dancing in a club, like, you know, yeah. and it's like your life isn't over if you stop drinking. But like, I feel like we're all programmed to think that.
Yeah.
Because we're brought up in that setting of, especially like in Ireland as well, do you know?
Yeah.
Like it's
yeah.
such a, like drinking is such a thing in Ireland. Like
completely.
And like we start drinking so young and then like it's our like, we go to different countries and they're like, oh, you're Irish, you love drinking. And you're like, yeah. But like, yeah. do you know what I mean? It's nearly like, it's like we like feed into that narrative. Does yeah. that make sense?
Yeah, it's like, we're going to drink loads of beers now because we're showing off.
Yeah.
Look how many I can drink.
Yeah.
And have you slipped up at any stage?
So I actually haven't really. Well, so basically there have been times when I've accidentally like taken a swig of something or like, someone would be like, this one's your drink and it won't be my drink. Oh, like yeah, it happened. Yeah. yeah. Like my friend was like, this is your sparkling water. And he had two vodka soda limes and I got the vodka soda lime. And that one I was just like, but I like immediately like spit it out. But like, I never count those as like actual slips because it's like,
no, you
I think it's
drunk,
the intention
yeah.
behind it as well. It's like, at no point have I been like, that's it. I'm getting like a beer or whatever. I've always been able to, yeah, like just stay off that. But there have been times, yeah, when I've accidentally drank alcohol. But it's more like the people around me who get really upset versus me.
Yeah.
yeah.
They're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, it's grand. Like these things happen. And it's not like I haven't lost, you know, the will and everything that I have in myself that keeps me from drinking. That hasn't been broken.
Yeah.
I haven't. I'm not at my wit's end. So, yeah. yeah.
And it's like you can be around it and you're okay.
Yeah. Oh, I love like that thing. I yeah. actually, because I hope like everyone doesn't stop drinking. Because I actually do love being in that environment generally. Like obviously, at some stages, like people get really messy and it isn't like great to be around. But like generally, like even this year in Dry January, so many of my friends stopped drinking and it was obviously like the height of winter as well. There's nothing really to do. And I was like, well, now we can't go to the pub or anything. Like, no, you're all not. And I was like, this is so toxic. I'm like, yeah, everyone don't drink. But then I'm like, guys, somebody drink. Yeah.
Someone have a yeah. fucking laugh. Come on.
But we have nowhere to go, though.
There's
yeah.
to go. In there's January,
nothing to do. Like, it's so funny when the sun comes out because all of a sudden it's like, there's loads of things I can do.
Yeah.
There's so many places I can go and I can spend time outdoors, especially when you have a fucking baby.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That baby is a snooze. She doesn't go to the pub. You know what I mean? She doesn't go to the pub. She can't even lay in the sun.
Yeah.
Because she's a baby.
Yeah.
We have to sit under a tree. I know.
Boring.
So when we go for hikes and stuff, she has the sun hat on. It's so good because then I don't feel, because I got really bad FOMO only recently because I'm not going, when festival season started. Yeah.
Mm.
And it's more so because I'm breastfeeding. I can't really leave her with the fella. But like, even still, yeah, I just feel left out or something.
Yeah.
So there's just like there's a barrier there between me and socializing with the rest of my age group, I suppose, because I don't know anyone else my age with the baby.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm not the type to be like having a, I don't really like have a bottle of wine at home.
Yeah.
Either. So I can't, you know, me and Jason would just be bored of each other.
Yeah.
Just be like, what do we talk about now?
The way I think about like drinking at home, isn't this so bad? I'm always like, it's not worth the hangover tomorrow. Mm. Like I, like if my mom like loves having her like G&Ts or like she'll make a drink and I look at her and I'm like, oh my God. And like, she would never offer me one because she just knows that I can't drink it. But I always look at her and I'm like, oh, that's, you know, it's so not worth having a drink at home because I'll be hungover tomorrow. Isn't that such a bad way to think about things? Mm. Like, I like think it through. I'm like, tomorrow will be worth having a hangover for because I'm going to X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's such a bad way to live because...
But it's also like stopping you from doing the like slipping into like daily drinking habits.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of the time when like life gets stressful, like people that I met when I was in treatment who like drank every day, because like I didn't relate to that at all.
Mm.
They were like, oh yeah, like I'd finish work and I'd have like a little glass of wine and then that escalated to like a bottle of wine and everything like that. Whereas at least like if you're like, no, my hangovers are going to stop me, you're not going to just like sit at home doing that. So there's a benefit in there.
There
somewhere.
Is, yeah, there is. That's the thing as well. It is great because I do pick and choose when I want to go out and when I want to do. But it's always, and I think this is with anyone, it's always the days where you say, I'm not drinking, you're home at 4 a.m.
Always.
Like always.
Yeah.
And with like festivals and stuff, would you find it more difficult or easier being sober? I'd probably say easier because there's more things to do.
Like, it kind of, like, it depends, really. I think it's, like, for me, going out in general, it's just, like, if I'm with, like, a good crew of my mates who, like, I love, like, I don't care where I am or whatever. So if I'm with, like, with the homies and I'm, like, I have ADHD as well, so I get very hyperactive from, like, interacting with other people. So I'm with people I love, I'm just, like, buzzing. But if it's, like, not a great crew and I'm not feeling, like, great, the weather's a bit shit, I'm just, like, I'd rather just not.
Mm.
So I'm very, like, selective with the things that I do. But with festivals, it was a real like integration period at the start because I was just like, even, you know, it gets really cold at night. Like if you're at a camping festival, like you get freezing and all your friends are grand and like don't want to go walk all the way back to the tent. Whereas you're just like, I'm absolutely like freezing here. And initially, so I basically, when I stopped drinking, I was off of like everything, like all substances or whatever. I've in the recent years, like brought in like, you know, mushrooms and things like that at times. So it means that like, it makes those things more doable, but they're not like really addictive things. Like I'm not ever sitting at home
whacking
mushrooms. Yeah, eating mushrooms. Like, nothing
like
done.
Love.
Yeah, but like would love that.
Like I would love, but like the supply is short.
Yeah, so like I will still engage in those things because those are the things that actually nearly keep me on my like sobriety thing with alcohol. Because it's like,
yeah.
I feel like for me, if I was off of everything, the first like year I was just like, I'm bored after a while. Because I was just like, I can't do anything and it's so unfair. Like I'm this young. All my friends are like living their hot girl lives and I'm here doing nothing.
Mm.
So, and like, I remember when I was in Pat's, it like St. Pat's is like right beside where Forbidden Fruit is. And so I was kept in the weekend of Forbidden Fruit.
Or it was actual like, torture.
Yeah. Like it was like, I was allowed out for a day. And then the night I came back and I remember like Bon Iver were playing and it was like the Sunday night. And I'm sitting there on my little hospital bed, looking out the like barred window, like proper
what?
Tragic, like
bars, like, yeah, like girl interrupted,
yeah, like literally prison bars. And I remember just like sitting there crying, being like, I'm never going to be able to do any of those things that I loved doing before, aww, like anymore.
Yeah.
And then like even the I was at Forbidden Fruit on Sunday and just having these like full circle moments of being like, I can still do all of those things that I thought I'd never be able to do, like of the life that I mourned for so long, like I'm still able to do them all. But it's like in my own way now.
Yeah. Mm. And have you ever, no, because I know I've listened to a few woo-woo people and they're able to get to the state of elation that the same way that alcohol gives you through like meditation and stuff. Do you think you've ever gotten to that level of being like, I feel drunk, but you're not actually drunk?
I think, and I used to be a bit on that woo-woo lifestyle. I've since, I'm recovering woo-woo.
ex-woo-woo.
Yeah, she's ex-woo-woo. She does not identify as woo-woo no more. But I definitely find, like, I think I'm just on a different frequency to other people with the whole, like, hyperactivity part of the ADHD.
Like,
I was out on Saturday night till 7:30 in the morning and then went to bed for a little bit and then went to Forbidden Fruit. And all my friends were like, how are you still awake? So it's just that like I get these like waves where I'm just like, life is incredible. Oh my God, I love everything.
Okay.
So but it's not from like meditation or anything. I just think there's like the devil's in me.
A little bit.
Okay. The devil tarot card.
I'd call it a god. I'd be like, that's brilliant.
So it's great, but it means like Monday to Friday, like on a school night, sometimes it's like 2 a.m. and I'm just like buzzing. Like, I can't do anything.
Yeah. But it's the drink makes you sleepy as well. That's another thing with me. Like, it, like if I'm not going full throttle, like I can't go for like one or two because I'll just be like, oh. You know? And it's like, I can happily say, no, I'm not drinking tonight. But it's like, I want to have a drink and I want to get involved. But it's like, then I sometimes have more energy if I'm not drinking. Like I was out yesterday and I think I had like half a beer or something. And then I felt myself getting sleepy. So I just stopped drinking it. I was like, I don't even want this anymore. And I found I stayed out so much longer than I probably would have drinking because I would have hit a wall and been like, zoom. But like things like forbidden fruit and stuff, I think for me, if I stopped drinking, it would be easier to be at that. Like, again, like you could, if like with mushrooms, you can't sit, you don't sit at home all day, you know, eating mushrooms, or you don't go like to meet your friend like in town and you're eating mushrooms and there, you know, having a drink. It's not like that. But it's amazing that those type of things, like they aren't addictive, are they?
I don't know.
I mean, there are people who can obviously... You can abuse anything.
You can abuse anything. Yeah. Like anything. But it's amazing that like even in that sense that you allow yourself, not that like you shouldn't allow yourself, but you allow yourself to do those things and you have that like there's like boundaries with things, but you're like, no, I'm gonna have this and I'm gonna enjoy myself, and you're open about it as well. Yeah. Because a lot of people wouldn't, when they're saying they're sober, they wouldn't mention that they would, you know, take mushrooms or because then people will go, oh, well, you're not really sober then.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And that's the thing I've had before of like people that are like, oh, you're sober. But then they'll like see me at something and I might, I don't know if I'm like eating a mushroom, like whatever it might be. I'm like, I don't want to give like a false example of being like, I am like Russell Brand sober. Like I am sobriety.
Yeah.
It's like for me, I just find, and like there are people I know who also like don't drink, but will take like MDMA or things like that. And like whatever works, I think for you is the thing. Like I know my brain chemistry and I know the things that really like destroy me and make me really sad, so I just completely avoid those. But if there are things that will like make my life easier and are not like harming me and I'm not using them, like my intention is never like I want to escape my reality because I hate my life, like as long as I'm not engaging in that, I'm like, life is hard, like do you.
So, and not abusing them as well.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
Because again, as you said, you can abuse anything. So that's so interesting. And that's so like, again, I love that you're so like honest about that as well, because people would, like even with the whole dry January, like if someone's saying, oh, I'm doing dry January, and then 2 weeks later they see them with a drink, it's like, I thought you weren't drinking.
Yeah.
And it's like, shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Like that was,
but it's also just like, do you think I don't know that?
Yeah. It's like,
I'm ashamed enough as it is.
Yeah, exactly. I'm already ashamed. You don't need to reinforce it, babe.
But like, why do you care? Like, actually, why do you care what goes into my body? Like, fuck off. You know what I mean?
But I microdosed when I was in London.
Tell me about this now. Should I do this?
So when I remember getting the microdose, I ordered it in, it took ages, it came from like Sweden or something. This is for the ADHD, so I was like, I need to do something, because because my ADHD was, it was more so just like I would go through stints of not being able to get out of bed and like getting really hyper fixated on books or whatever. So I'd be like reading in bed for ages and I'd wake up and it was 5 days later, sort of thing. Like have not showered, you know, because I'm obsessed with counting my steps. I'd literally look at my phone, it would be like 9 steps on my phone. Like that's how bad it was.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then the next week I'd be like, I want to start a psychology degree. Like it was really bad. And then I'd be like, oh my God, I'm addicted to mochi balls, to the point where I was like vomiting up mochi balls. So it was just like every week it was a new thing. And I was like, I need to do something about my mochi ball addiction. Yeah. So I wasn't like going out that much, because to be honest, guys, I didn't have that many friends in London. So I wasn't getting the invites to things. So the odd time I'd be going out drinking or whatever, but most of the time it was just me at home, which I'm sort of happy about anyway. But so I ordered the microdosing thing. The first day I took it, I was literally gurning. I was like gurning and dribbling at the mouth. And then I was like, okay. And then it set in and I was like, oh my God. Like, I'm actually really concentrated right now. I was like, I can do anything. Yeah. And because I got like real bad waves of depression and I needed loads of dopamine all the time, so I'd be like buying shit or on my phone all the time. Wasn't interested in the phone. Was just kind of relaxed.
after the gurn. But the gurn lasted like half an hour and then kind of set into my body. But the way microdose works is that you do like one day on, 2 days off. So you take it for 1 day and then it lasts for 2 days extra.
No way.
And then after your body has like taken it in or absorbed it, after 3 months, you can just take one whenever you feel like it. So then after that, I was just like taking one here and there, and it was helping me so much, just like relax.
And is it a long-term effect? Like, do you find that it's like, would you ever take it again, or do you need to take it again?
Well, you can't take it when you're breastfeeding.
Okay.
I stopped when I found out I was pregnant.
Okay.
Well, it's just because you can't actually test on pregnant women or breastfeeding women. That's the reason why. But they don't know if there's any effects, you know? Mm-hmm. She's probably fine, you know? Yeah. She's just like, woo! So I think I would take it again after I finished breastfeeding, because when I took it, I didn't need to have coffee or anything like that, you know, because I was just concentrated and like happy throughout the day. And I was just, you know, everything is way nicer. Sex has felt much nicer. The grass was greener.
You know, I was prettier.
It was so good. The lips were plumper.
Oh, Lord.
It was stunning. It was really good. I really am an advocate for it because... I just think it was just like a good, it's like what our ancestors wanted.
Yeah.
You know, it's from the ground. It's natural.
Yeah,
I'm turning into one of those decriminalized weed people.
Hippie-dippy.
It's from the ground. It's natural.
Yeah.
Do you
smoke weed?
No, I was diagnosed with ADHD like last year. Or wait, when was it before?
Oh, recent.
Yeah, I'm a recent ADHD girl.
Okay.
Yeah. And so one of the things I learned then is that like if you have ADHD, you're a lot more likely to be addicted to either weed, alcohol or cocaine. Mm. And like I used to love smoking weed and everything, and it would bring me back to, I'd be like, oh my God, I feel like normal people. I'd be like down here. Mm. But with the whole like depression and like productivity, like they just don't marry very well. So like there's the odd time I'd be like, yeah, why not? But also the meds I'm on, like I take stimulant meds for like the ADHD vibe. So I can't with that as well. So it kind of also keeps me straight and narrow vibes.
Okay, nice. Great.
Yeah.
What are stimulant meds?
So like Ritalin and things like that.
Okay.
So I'm on Tyvenz, but so it's like a 14-hour release version
okay.
of Ritalin.
Okay. Do I need them?
The OCD, health OCD is kicking in right now.
My hands are sweating.
I've got a shopping list over there.
No, me writing everything down. No, I'm always just so curious because, yeah, you see, that's the problem with me, I think, as well. Like, once I'm introduced to something new, I will Google it, search it, live it, eat it, breathe it, and then be like, I think I have that.
Yeah.
So, but the health OCD is definitely a thing. So I'll just, like, one day I'll just be like, I have ADHD. Like, do I? No, I don't think I do.
Well, apparently neurodivergent people, so people with autism, ADHD, all like, it's like a magnetic force field.
We flock together.
We do flock together. Yeah. I feel the buzz.
Because
you know?
Jason thinks he has something, but we're not sure what it is, if that
makes
sense.
That's me every day,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
But Jason has OCD as well. Like, we are very, very bad, both of us.
Yeah, yeah.
And we always, like, bond through that. I'm always like, do you ever, like, get when you just have visions of, like, you know, throwing yourself down the stairs or pushing someone else down the stairs? He's like, all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Like, we would never do that, obviously. But unfortunately, like, that's how we bond. And it's actually so nice as well, because like males never really talk about what they're going through, but like Jason's very open about it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really nice. But I don't know why I just automatically thought that I needed your meds that you're on. We all take one for the crack.
Yeah, it happens. For that, I'm just like, calm down. I'm like,
oh God. And like with like dating and stuff, like did guys ever, were they all ever like, ugh, or girls? Guys,
oh
or
God.
Girls?
Yeah, sorry. Are you single right now?
I am a single girly.
Are you?
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah, so basically when I first like went into treatment, I had just like started dating someone, and then we went out for like 4.5 years. And then when we broke up, I ended up getting into another relationship pretty soon after.
Okay.
So it was only last year that I was like single and then like not drinking for the first time. And I went through this whole thing of being like, I'm never going to kiss someone again. Because I was just like, how do you like sober, like end up wearing face with a randomer when you don't want to end up in another relationship, when you want to have something like casual, or like how do you have casual sex when you're sober?
Oh my God, I never thought of that. Because you can even pretend that you're drunk and be like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm having sex with, I've only just met you. That's crazy.
Exactly. So that's the thing. I was like, went through this whole thing of being like, it's never going to happen for me again.
Oh, fuck.
But then it did, and now it's, you know, we're back.
Oh, are you loving it as well?
Yeah, like
So the one thing that I hate is like, if I'm on the apps or anything, let's say people always be like, oh, do you want to go for a drink? And then I have to be like, yeah, so I will go for a drink, but just with a caveat of it'll be a 0-0. But don't worry, I'm like really fun. Like it's like a hard thing to like,
you have to convince them
get across. Because like, you know, some people are very like, I don't know. For me, even before I stopped drinking, I remember I went on a couple of dates with a guy who didn't drink and I was like, snore.
Yeah. So like, snooze fest.
Yeah, so some people have this perception you're going to be really boring. But if you met me, you'd know like I'm fine not drinking.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you convey
that? You're not boring at all. You're I'm really interested right now.
I know, but it's like, how do you convey
that? Full disclaimer.
But how do you convey that without being like, hey, I'm super fun. I don't drink, but I'm super fun.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't say it. I just wouldn't say anything.
See, I don't know. I've tested the boundary with like other friends and they're like, oh, like I'd feel really weird if I showed up on a date with someone and they weren't drinking. But like, that someone wouldn't be me though.
Aww, you know,
like, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. So like, I don't know. I always like to just say it also because if the person also was like, oh, whoa, that's a problem. It's like, that's a bullet dodged anyway.
Yeah. Ew.
So, but I also then feel the need to be like, I used to drink, but now I don't. As in it's like, I'm not someone who's like devout, you know. Not that there's anything wrong with the religion, but like that it's anything to do with that I've never drank in my life.
Yeah.
So
well, my ex was a pioneer, but it wasn't to do with religion. He just didn't want to drink.
Yeah.
But then a rumor started about him that he was dry sniffing drugs. And he was like, no, I'm not. But he was interesting and like always going for a buzz. He would be out longer than me. Sort of. I was the snore. I was actually the snore.
You were
you. Yeah, I was honk me-me-meing away. Honk me-me-me. I wanted a fucking sober night in watching a movie. Yeah. Twirling, you know, rubbing your feet against each other under the covers.
Yeah.
And he was there like having afters in the apartment. But no, so I'd like to say, but it also depends. Maybe girls have it harder because I can't imagine a boy. Because for girls, I've said this before on the podcast, if a boy has like a quirk about them, say he doesn't drink or say like he has social anxiety, girls will literally be like, oh my God.
That's so cute.
That's so cute. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Where boys, on the other hand, might be like, oh, no, she
that's
doesn't drink.
Boring.
Yeah. You know, they don't see it in the same way. Girls just have a different perception of like what's attractive and what's not.
Yeah.
So we'd be impressed by them not drinking.
Yeah, it is like
but
that.
Like,
yeah.
Generally, like that has been, I don't think I've actually ever had someone be like, actually, never mind about it. You know, I don't think I've actually ever had anyone have an issue with it.
Yeah.
And then they will be like, oh, pop off about it.
Mm.
But it's also just having to like, it's like, I don't even know you yet, but I'm having to like disclose this very personal thing about me, which is also just like a thing about me.
Yeah.
But like having to then like on a date be like, okay, so here's the trauma. Just like, here are like the little bits, but like, I'm chill now. It's fine.
It's like getting it out of the way.
Getting
might
it out of the way.
Well. Might as well.
Yeah. Make them sign an NDA after.
Yeah. But just being like, yeah, we're going to go through this whole thing here. I'll just send him this podcast next time. Right, here you go. This is what's going on.
That is so good.
Love. If you want to know anything about me, just dropping the link.
Just
right.
Drop the link.
Just drop the link.
But like anyone who does get offended, I just think it's because they're so insecure about themselves and with the topic itself.
Yeah, or they're having like issues there as well. And then also like, you know, I feel for you.
But yeah.
We're not, it's not going to be a thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
With the sex thing then, I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah, because we want to know.
Sorry, I just can't stop thinking about sex right now. But anyway, guys, just so you know, I had sex yesterday.
Oh, hello.
Yes! It's like me and Jason this year, like, can we have sex on the 3rd of June at 5:45 p.m.? Her nap is due. We'll have this amount of time. And then it's like, sometimes she'll wake up. But anyway, and then when we do it, we're like, yeah, we had sex, you know,
like high five.
I was telling my dad, we had a barbecue on Saturday. I was like, yeah, me and Jason had sex last night.
I think
it was just like lovely.
My dad's just like, right, okay.
But now I know from when, like I said, my ex wasn't drinking, but if I was really drunk, I would be like, I feel like a pervert, even though probably it would be seen the different way, because I'd be like, oh, come on, sexy, you know, you know, take a swing in my top in the air. So is there a weird dynamic then when you're trying to get frisky and you're like,
you're too drunk. Am I taking advantage of you?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so one of the things I found as well, when I'm on dates with people, they generally, like, luckily for me anyway, no one I've ever gone on a date with has gotten like really, really hammered.
Okay, yeah.
So like that is good. But there have definitely been times when I've been kind of like, this feels bordering unethical.
Yeah, yeah.
But it hasn't been very much, I guess. But it is a weird thing. Like, I don't know. That was the hard part, I think, to get over with the like sleeping with people or whatever, not drinking. Because I was like, you know, when you're drinking, you're just kind of like, oh yeah, this person will do or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know. But like, there was a time in my life that
you're good looking enough. It's grand.
I love it.
You're grand. Like the beer goggles are there. Yeah. Whereas like, when you're sober, you're so aware of a person. You're like, yeah. And like, as they get drunker, you're just like, definitely not. So like, it means that you're more likely, like, it is very slim that you'll just be like, yeah, let's go have like a one night stand or whatever.
Yeah.
With someone who you really don't like. You actually have to like really like them as a person.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, yeah.
The ick, like.
Yeah, no, the ick is so strong.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So like, I was like at a point, I was like, I'm so jealous of my friends who would just get like hammered and like sleep with like some random guy who's like a minger, like. And actually, after the fact, I was like, no, because the way I would have felt after that is just like, oh God.
Yeah.
No, me and Ian are like, yeah,
yeah.
We've both been there.
Done that.
I literally had sex with the guy before who I didn't kiss in the mouth. Like, that's how bad it was. I was like, don't look at me.
Yeah. No, like, that's just, I'm sorry as well. For the guys, is or girls, guys or girls.
It's a combo.
Combo. Yeah, combo. For them, it's like,
happy pride, guys.
Yeah, happy pride.
Happy pride.
Happy pride for all us bisexuals at the table right now.
Bisexual queens.
Love. It's like the Spider-Man thing. I've lost my train of thought.
Sorry, you were saying boys, with the boys or girls.
With the boys or girls. You know what I would be thinking as well? Like, obviously, I get the ick so easily. Like, so easily. Like, someone will breathe and I'll be like, ew.
But it doesn't get in your way either.
Never stopped you before.
Never stopped her before.
Look, Keelan, come here.
She went for seconds.
Keelan, come here. Look. We've both been there in fairness.
I had a fucking mullet and a gold tooth.
Times were tough.
I had a mullet and a gold tooth. We'll say no more. Okay? What was I thinking? Anyway, different time in my life. But I was saying that, like, with the, like, if I was around someone who wasn't drinking and I was on a date, like, I would be definitely way more aware of, like, how much I was intaking. Cause, like, I wouldn't want them to get the ick. Cause, like, you know, or, like, get, like, slurry and messy and be, like, farting and all this kind of shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'd be so, like, so much more aware. So, like, it's probably such a good first date. Because you can really like pace yourself. Because on first dates, people do drink so much to get over that awkwardness.
Yeah.
But then you're the icebreaker already because you're like, well, I'm sober and I'm going to be staying sober for the whole time. So like, there's no need to get plastered drunk because I'm still sober. So like, that's such a good like first date thing.
You're probably so good at making conversation.
Yeah.
You're probably so...
I know a good conversation. But like, it depends though, because it's like, it also means that you're like hyper aware of like, oh no, I don't fancy this person and I'm not going to. And I still find that difficult to like navigate around.
Yeah. You know? Oh God.
Yeah.
And you can't just like stick it out for the crack either. You're sitting there kind of being like, how do I get away from this?
Yeah, exactly. And like, yeah, you're just like so aware of what is being said.
Have you ever been on a date where you've had to leave? Like, you know, like the classic, like I'm going to the toilet and then leave. Have I done that?
No, I do the phone a friend. So I've been on a date because all my dates have been fucking drinking dates. So we'd be on a date and I'd be like, oh, my friends are actually coming into town. And then we'd, oh my God, I lost you somewhere along the way.
I'm just going to go get a drink.
No,
bye.
I've been on a date before though where the guy asked if he could call his mom off my phone. Are you serious?
Wait, to be like, hey mom, come get me.
No, to be like, hey mom, can I stay out longer?
Never mind. I thought he was just checking in on her.
Oh God, no.
Oh God.
He was like, mummy, I'm staying out longer. I'm pretty sure he got in trouble over the phone.
Oh God.
Stop. Yeah, love.
Like, have you ever had to leave a date because you're just like, I can't stick this out any longer because you don't have those beer goggles on you. So you're like,
yeah, like there definitely have been dates that I've had to. But it's just like, I don't know, with dating it is a hard one because it's like, I feel like you generally know when you get to a date, you're like, I'm not into this person.
Yeah.
And then you're like, maybe, you know, we'll see it out. But then after, like, you know, you're like, how can I politely, I'll wait for like an hour and a half.
Mm.
And then it's like polite to be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I actually have double booked myself or whatever. Or like, I'll generally just be like, oh, I'm meeting my friends for blah, blah, blah. Really nice to meet you. Still working on that one though.
It's very hard. You know what? Sober or drunk, it's a tough one.
Yeah. It is tough.
How do you do that?
Date ideas? Like, what do you do then? Do you make the plans then? Because usually people go with the lazy, let's go for a drink. So
see, it is a hard one because like, I actually do love going for a drink for a date because yeah. I feel like it is a nice like environment and I like being out and about with people because sometimes it's like, I don't want to be like up a mountain in a forest with someone that I don't know either. Do you know?
No.
Yeah.
It's a like, lovely bone.
Yeah. Yeah, being like, Jesus. Let's go for a walk. Like I've definitely done those kinds of dates, but yeah, like generally I do still go for drinks.
Nice. And are you all, you do get the 00s.
Oh, so now I'm on the 00s. I didn't do, for the first like 4 years, I wouldn't go near them because okay. when I was in AA, they were like, non-alcoholics are for non-alcoholics. So,
okay.
Wait, say it again.
Non-alcoholics are for non-alcoholics. So as in like people a non-alcoholic beer. So 00 isn't for people with alcoholism or like struggling with that.
Yeah.
Because basically like if you're like in your early recovery and like you're getting the taste of beer still all the time, you're still going to get like cravings and you're going to be like, you know, willpower is only so strong. So one of the days you're going to be like, well, fuck it. What's the difference between this and like an actual beer?
Yeah.
So like I was really like scared of having them for the first like 4 years. Mm. But then it kind of got to the stage where I was like, I'm sick of like just meeting people for like coffee or dinner. Like I still want to be in those environments and not be just like, here's me and my little Fanta again.
Yeah.
So like I still, you know, you want to meet someone for like a pint.
And spice it up. Like
yeah, spice it up.
Like do you drink the Guinness 00?
I have Guinness 00, a little nice. Heinemann 00.
Nice.
All the zeros.
Yeah, my dad doesn't drink and he stopped drinking like 4 years ago and he loved Heineken. Yeah. And now he drinks Heineken 00. And I think it was like accidentally, because he owns a pub in Blackrock and like the bottles were beside each other and they're very similar.
They're like identical.
They're very fucking similar. And he was like, pass me a 00 out of the fridge. And it was like a normal beer. And he was like, oh Jesus. And he was like, that tastes awful. And then he was yeah. like, oh, it's an actual beer. And he was like, they're actually nicer yeah. than the originals. But I think the 00s, the way that they've made them, like the Guinness 00, you would never know.
Yeah.
You would never know.
I was sucking back a 00 when I was pregnant.
Yeah, you I loved it.
I was made of Guinness 00 when I was pregnant. Like Guinness 00 and chips.
Like loved
I was,
it.
I was full. It like there was not a baby in there. It was just Guinness and chips. Guinness 00 and chips.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but that's why she's a little legend now. She's literally like, oh. And she does reach for a pint of Guinness every time there's one in front of her.
Yeah.
She does.
Oh, of course.
Loves it.
I feel like every baby is like, I have a baby picture of me and I have like a glass of wine and my mom's like, this is gas. And like the wine is like basically touching my lips like and I'm like I feel like every baby is like alcohol, you know
yeah,
what I mean
yeah,
but back in the day like parents drank when we were in the bellies
yeah
and smoked like yeah. that was like a thing.
No wonder we're like yes. this.
No sorry, no wonder we're
no
all,
wonder I'm a nutcase. I'm a lunatic.
There is a chance.
Neurodivergent, is that what it
yeah,
is
yeah yeah
Jesus, it sounds like something from like different. The Incredibles or something.
Like, neuro-spicy like
yeah
neuro-spicy
yeah no but it's so because in fairness when I am talking to my mom about these things I'm like, oh, because my ADHD it's such an inhibitor of blah 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 and she just go, would you ever just fucking get over it, it's just a few quirks. And then I'm kind of like, that actually helped me.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
sometimes it does, because you're overthinking it and you're like, I'm like this because of this and blah blah blah. You can explain it and pathologize it until the fucking cows come home.
Yeah,
but at the end of the day, if you don't take action for your life, nothing's going to change.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, girls?
I always think about it as like with the OCD, I'm always like, I'm forever caring too much, but like I think it like benefits me as a person because I'm a severe empath and like I just care about things so much. So that means that like my like friendships, relationships, family members, well, I wouldn't say family members now because my, not that they get the best side of me. No, who's, what family
who's
members
do?
Get? Who, like who gets the best side family members? Never, like obviously because they're going to love you unconditionally.
Yeah.
I always look at Keelan like when I say a word that I'm like saying like, that I'm saying it right and she's like yeah go but I always think that like I just like love people like I'm like stronger and I care about things so, which I think makes me a better person.
Yeah,
from my OCD.
Yeah,
do you know what
definitely.
I mean? Like I could look at it until the cows come home and be like, oh Jesus Christ, like I'm this, I'm that, like why am I like this? But I always think about it in a way of like, no, I care about things so much, but actually it benefits a lot of things, friendships, relationships, like family, like all this kind of stuff. Like I look at situations in a different way, but it's always a more caring way.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Did I?
Absolutely.
Did that
shimmer? That was great. I'm actually welling up. I am. Because you are such a good friend.
Oh.
You are such a good friend. I was thinking about it over the weekend. I thought you hated me because you weren't texting me.
I was like.
But it was actually just because she was puking. She was on her phone.
Sorry. I couldn't look. I was that hungover. I couldn't even look at my phone.
And I was there refreshing.
No, like she was like texting me. My so boyfriend text was texting me and I couldn't text anyone. And like he was like, are you okay? Like what's the story? And I was like, I can't look at my phone right now. Like that's how bad they are. Yeah. And no, Jesus Christ, no. It's very unlike me not to be on my phone. Do you feel the clammy hands on me?
Yeah, same. I'm like rubbing them off my dress. Sorry.
Sorry.
So it took like 2 weeks or something until like, because I was on antibiotics and all this and I was donating breast milk so I couldn't. Mm. But you're not actually supposed to, I didn't even fucking know this, but you're not really supposed to drink until your baby's 12 weeks because their liver isn't fully developed. Okay. So I had my first margarita and I was just like, oh, I feel like shit. Why am I doing this? It was just sort of like, because I could now. Yeah. And then I was having it and then I stopped for 3 months. And then I had a glass of Prosecco on my birthday, though.
Remember? Oh, my God. Yeah. And then you were breastfeeding her and like she was bawling. Remember she was and she like hated it. Like she hated it.
But she was breastfeeding and then all of a sudden she just goes blah, 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 the, like the force of it like threw back her head. And then I was just covered in baby sick and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, you're like, I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah, she was just like, happy birthday, mammy. And I was like, love.
Stunning. Oh,
and actually, God. This is actually just on the birthday topic, like, do you ever feel like for your birthdays, would people be like less likely to be like, oh, not let's celebrate, but people revolve like drinking around birthdays around drinking and they're like, let's get fucked up. It's my birthday. Like, do you ever find people are a bit like temperamental with that? And they're like, what do you want to do? That kind of thing. And it's like, stop alienating me. Like, I want to go out and dance. Like, I don't need to drink to dance.
Yeah. Like last year, it always feels weird for me as well. Like last year I was like, oh, we'll do dinner and drinks. And I'm like, it feels weird being like, let's do drinks for my birthday. Mm. But like, I don't know, yeah, because like those are like the environments I like being in, or like I like going like camping, but still like a big party. So I don't know. Also, like a lot of people are always away for my birthday. So it's always one of those like, I have no friends, no one's around. Kind of like I'm like the height of like, I'm the 2nd of August. So it's always like the August bank holiday.
Okay, yeah.
So, but often I'll be at Altogether Now on my birthday. So it means I can kind of like celebrate in that kind of way.
Now that's what I'm trying to get. That I'm like building up the courage to go to a festival since I've had the baby.
I'll go with you.
So me and Jason want to go to Altogether Now.
I'll go with you
and
as well.
And Josh is flying home for it.
Wait, what dates are Altogether Now?
The 4th to the 6th of August.
Of August, 4th to the 6th of August.
So if Altogether Now is listening to this podcast right now and you want to send me an Emer, we would be happy to be obliged.
We would accept your
A hut.
A hut.
20,000 listeners, just so you know.
Anyone with connections, send us on. We look like scabby bitches.
We want to go glamping.
We want a glam.
Yeah, give the girlies a glam.
We love. Sorry. I just had a baby. Come on.
Come on, guys.
The least you could do.
Imagine. Sorry, manifest this.
Manifesting
this.
Yeah.
Girl boss.
What time are we at
there? Oh, sorry. We're at 7 now. Sorry.
Are we actually?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that flew by. Okay. Do you ever get mesh? Makes you stink.
Yeah, mesh holds a very strange smell.
What's the crack with that?
My sports bra for some reason smelled like an ashtray. And I was like, what the fuck happened here?
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm sweating tobacco.
Do you smoke? Movies.
Yeah, I still smoke.
Nice. Not yeah. I'm not nice.
Nice.
Sorry. Like,
But it's
another thing. It's kind of like they come hand in hand. And you know the way when you're having a smoke, you're like, oh, I want a drink. If you're having a drink, you want to smoke.
Yeah.
You know the way, it's a hand in hand kind of thing. Yeah. It's like coffee and smoke as well.
Yeah. No, when I was in Pat's, I was like, so giving up everything. And then I was like, you know, when you get on like that real, like, yeah, I'm amazing. And like when you stop drinking initially, you have this like burst of just like, oh my God, I feel incredible, and like endorphins. And I was like, yeah, and I'm gonna give up smoking. My psychiatrist was like, please don't do that. Please don't give up smoking. And I was like, why? I can do it. And she, 'cause I was like, I'm doing everything else. And she was like, that will be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Okay.
So she was like, it's all about doing things in a real like gradual way. So like my whole thing is, I'm like, I don't want to smoke by the time I'm 30.
Okay.
So like we're gradually getting there. But if me smoking is what stops me from drinking, then I'm going to smoke.
Let yourself smoke, girl.
Let yourself smoke. Let we yourself all need smoke. My life is hard.
Do you know what? We all deserve a smoke once in a while.
No vapes.
No.
This is not a vape friendly podcast.
No.
Anti-vape
podcast. The vapes, can I just say, make my hangovers so much worse.
Do they?
Yes.
Because they're kind of like stomach
stomach churning.
I don't know what the fuck it is, but anytime I have a vape in my hand the night before, I'm like, that's what it was. It wasn't the drink, it was the vape. But like, it's
just
obviously
convincing yourself.
Convincing myself. But yeah, no vapes allowed here. I literally have a vape in my bag.
Save us a song.
Yeah. Right, we leave it there.
Okay.
Go on. Bye, Hannah.
Thanks, Hannah.
Bye.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.